Thursday, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 65. For AccuWeather.com, I'm Sally Sherman.
News Radio KONP presents The Todd Ortloff Show. Now from Port Angeles, it's Todd Ortloff.
Welcome once again to the program. My pleasure to have a newcomer to the community, although he's been here and on the job for a little bit now. We welcome the new Port Angeles School Superintendent, Marty Brewer, to the program. We're going to spend the hour talking with him a bit about his past, what got him here to Port Angeles, and a little bit about kind of what he sees as moving ahead in the Port Angeles School District, some of the issues that are facing, and appropriately, just a couple weeks out from the first day of school as well. So, Marty, good to see you. I have had a chance to meet you before we did this, so it's good to see you again.
Yeah, well, thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
All right, let's we'll talk a little bit about the past. You come here from the Pioneer School District. Let's talk kind of a bit about your career and what has gotten you to Port Angeles.
Yeah, I'm originally raised in Granby, Washington. So I'm a small rural schools kind of guy. I was born in 1965. That makes me 53 years of age. This is my 30th year of in public education. And I have had an opportunity to be a teacher, an assistant principal, athletic director, principal, and recently, the last 7 years, have been as a superintendent in the Mason County area. The first 23 years of my career were spent on the east side of the mountains, and the last seven have been here on the west side. We moved over here in 2011. To the Pioneer School District, and we fell in love with living on the Olympic Peninsula. And so kind of the word on the street there a few years ago in Mason County was, oh, he'll get his experience and move back to the east side of the mountains. My wife and I are here to attest that that will never happen. We absolutely love living on the Olympic Peninsula. So when the opportunity presented itself to apply for this position last it was probably February. Mm-hmm. We took that opportunity, and it was an honor to be offered the position of Port Angeles' superintendent, and here to make a difference.
All right. Interesting resume you have. I think if people need to kind of understand that, I think that may have played into a bit of why the school board decided you might be the guy to do this, yeah, among some other things. But as you just pointed out, you've kind of done it all.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a pretty broad range of experiences, yeah, and very diverse populations. I've been principals of what is called a 90-90 school, like 90% Hispanic and 90% free and reduced. I've worked in schools where we had magnet gifted programs. I've led districts through bond campaigns and capital facility conversations. My previous experience in Mason County, one of the most pressing needs of the Pioneer School District was facilities. Right. And so kind of a funny story, when I was hired there, I had a board member ask me if we could pass a bond when I was here. And, you know, I said, sure. You know, bonds come a little easier over on the east side of the mountains than they do on the Olympic Peninsula. And so we spent, you know, 4 years working at a task to pass a bond there in Mason County, which was a big accomplishment, and we're capable of opening a new school last fall.
And kind of leads me into some conversation. I think we'll spend a bit here about Mason County. I mean, you come from a rather, I'm not going to say troubled is the wrong word, but financially strapped could be a good way to say it. I mean, in some similar situation, maybe even worse so than here on the northern part of the Olympic Peninsula.
Pioneer School District has a unique challenge. It's on the, it has saltwater waterfront. And so they were considered a property-rich district, but our families were poor. Mm-hmm. And so we had, a retired population living along the saltwater waterfront, and our families were living back in communities and wooded areas, and 70% of our families there were free and reduced families. And so a real unique challenge, mm-hmm, around the district and working with the community to determine facility needs. Many of the retired population had moved there after their own children were raised, and that was their retirement home. So it was a very detailed conversation to get through that around capital facility needs for the Pioneer School District at that time.
Do you get the feeling of deja vu all over again, though, in coming to this position? Because a lot of similarities, maybe not as drastic in some ways, but we do certainly have a lot of retirees. We certainly have a lot of people that are here that don't have, you know, that direct attachment, if you will, to the school district.
Yeah, I think there's some similarities, but I'm very cautious with that because every district, every community has their own strengths and challenges. And so right now, I'm just spending the necessary time to learn the strengths and weaknesses, not weaknesses, I don't call them, I call them challenges, mm-hmm. of our community and our district. And so, you know, you have come in and participated in a coffee chat. I've had better part of 100 folks come through and take that opportunity just to sit down and have a chat with no real agenda other than let's get to know one another. And so I do encourage the listeners to reach out to me and I can provide some information on how to do so a little later. But my coffee chats are continuing. Had one just this morning, and I have usually 5 to 7 participants in each. And it's really given me a broad-based understanding of the three key questions are, you know, what are our strengths, what are our challenges, and then talk to me about facility improvements, what's going well and what's maybe not going so well.
We'll get into a little bit more of that as we go. One thing I would point out, I did take part in one of those, and I don't. This isn't accusationary in any sense, but I think that we all, as we are in some business or organization, you tend to have kind of a silo mentality to things. It's tough to get outside of that. You see it one way, but maybe you don't see it the way everybody else sees it.
Yeah.
And I know that's probably one of the things you're trying to get a handle on as you come into a new job.
Absolutely. And I kind of come from a philosophy of what's good for the city and county is good for the district and vice versa. Yeah. And so our community problems, or if we frame it that way, are ours. And we share those. And our community strengths are ours, and we share those. So I really want to be engaged in the community schools and beyond. And so I've had an opportunity to do some things that are exciting for the summer. I was in the dunk tank at Howie's event. And this last weekend, the back to school event, where we had 20 local businesses come together to support back to school items for our children within our system. 924 students served, which was fantastic. But 20 businesses coming together to put that on and, you know, kind of offset some of the cost as it relates to coming back to school. I was a navigator at that event working with fellow Kiwanians. And so I really look forward to engaging in the schools and beyond to become an active participant to make a difference for our community. And that's not just limited to the schools.
As we go to the break, I'll kind of swing back to you just to kind of a little personally at talking about our community, your family. I mean, you've got you have an established family. I mean, you guys are planting roots around, and why don't we talk a little bit about that? Then we'll come back and we'll get into the business of schools after the break.
Yeah, my wife Terry is in the area with me, and we have 4 beautiful daughters. They range in age from 33 to 23 next week.
Okay.
All 4 have graduated from the trade school or college of their choice, so we have no more college bills to pay, which is great.
And any parent out there that's in that, you know, that's a good deal.
There you go. It's like check number one.
Right.
And then 2 of the 4 are married, and so we're almost completed with check number 2.
Right.
And so we have a grandson. Our first grandson was born about a year and a half ago. Expecting our first grandchild in December. So we're kind of entering that next phase of our life around the payoff. You know, all the hard work with your own children and then the payoff around the grandchildren. So we're pretty excited for that phase of our life.
All right. Well, congratulations on that.
Thank you very much.
And I have to not let this go because I always do it, but he also graduated from a pretty good university.
There you go.
Go Cougs.
Go Cougs.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the first.
I don't want to make any enemies up front.
No, it's okay. It's okay. We're all friends in here right now.
All right, good.
There you go. All right. We're talking with the new Port Angeles School Superintendent Marty Brewer, and we'll talk a bit more with him about kind of how he sees things evolving and maybe what the next steps are for a lot of big issues that are facing, you know, really schools everywhere, but also more specifically the Port Angeles School District. We'll do that right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
Shopping for back to school? Choose local.
I'm Beth from Port Angeles. I do all my back to school shopping in Port Angeles. It saves a lot of gas, a lot of time, and I find everything that I need.
I'm Robert. Shopping for back to school, it's really important to shop right here in our community.
Yeah, I'm Kasha, and I live here in Port Angeles. I can get everything I need for my kids right here in town. Backpacks, notebooks, everything I need.
When you shop for back to school, the city of Port Angeles encourages you to choose local.
Yar! Looking nice today, me hearty.
Thanks, hon. This is a new shirt. Wait, are you talking like a pirate?
Nar, you scallywag. This be how I speak naturally.
I don't think so. I'm pretty sure I'd have noticed by now.
Yar, not very observant.
That's true, but is that a parrot on your shoulder? I demand to know what's going on.
I'm just getting ready to go plunder the Elwha for their treasure chest of cash. They've got hot seats every Thursday from 6 to 9, and this pirate is not gonna miss the boat.
Oh, the Elwha! I'll walk the plank for that one.
There's a treasure chest of cash awaiting Yar at the Elwha River Casino. Reward members qualify for hot seats every Thursday in August, every 30 minutes from 6 to 9 p.m., with a chance to win up to $500. Wednesdays are senior days. Get 30% off at the grill, double the points, and hot seat action from 11 to 4. Plus, check out the River's Edge Grill for breakfast, lunch, and the $6.99 Sunday steak dinner. It's all at the Elwha River Casino, the friendliest casino on the peninsula, just west of Port Angeles.
What makes Easy Pawn East such a gem? Maybe it's all of the beautiful shimmering jewelry you'll find inside. Or maybe it's that almost all jewelry repair can be done in store on the same day while you wait. Easy Pawn is your jewelry headquarters. We have our in-store 3D CAD design for custom jewelry and remounts. We offer free jewelry cleaning and inspection Monday, Thursday, and Friday. And we have GIA grads on staff to handle most anything. Easy Pawn on Highway 101 in Port Angeles. It's a gem.
At Les Schwab Tires, we don't just sell tires, but our sign isn't big enough for the name Les Schwab Tires, Brakes, Alignment, Shocks, Rims, and Batteries. And that would also leave off the how we do it part, which would read Les Schwab Honest, Friendly, Trustworthy Tires, Brakes, Alignment, Shocks, Wheels, Batteries, and Popcorn. We could shorten it to Les Schwab Popcorn, but that might just be confusing. So for now, we'll stick with tires. Les Schwab Tires. Doing the right thing matters.
Selfless service is the guiding principle that drives Army National Guard soldiers to be always ready whenever disaster strikes. They are your next-door neighbors and your colleagues in schools, offices, and factories. To be a Guard soldier is to stand ready to serve at all times for family, for community, and for country. To learn more, log on to NationalGuard.com or contact an Army National Guard recruiter in your area. Sponsored by the Washington Army National Guard. Aired by the Washington State Association of Broadcasters and this station.
My guest is Marty Brewer. He is the new Port Angeles School Superintendent, been on the job since end of June. Came here from Mason County, actually down in the Shelton area in the Pioneer School District, where they actually had some similar issues there. I want to get into that maybe in this segment with the facilities and getting bonds passed and such. And I'm going to just harken back to the coffee conversation we had with you, and you were kind of describing a bit about process there, and you alluded to it in the first segment about getting a bond pass. One of the things when you first arrived there 7 years ago was kind of the same situation I think Port Angeles has, is that there was a need for facilities, but was there support in the community to get a bond or whatever it took to get it passed? And I guess, am I speaking out of turn here? Is that a correct assumption as to what you faced then?
Yeah, 7 years with Pioneer School District, worked for the first four to try to build, community support towards passing a bond. And that was, a significant challenge when a majority of your voters fell outside of, the schoolhouse, so to speak. So it was a lot of work. I made reference in my intro that, kind of jokingly, sure, we can pass a bond, but it was, a lot of boots on the ground and a lot of organized events, both informal and formal, to, build the community confidence around our facility needs. And when I entered the district, there were a number of attempts prior to my arriving. And the first assessment I made was the district had a history of taking a campaign out to the voters and failing it, and then turning around and switching it up, so to speak, coming up with a new plan. And my assessment of what that was doing to the community there in Mason County was confusing them based on what our need really was. So the board at that point in time stayed very laser focused on the model that had been created, and we continued to enhance that model with a number of pieces, like we tried to reduce some cost and take that back to the voters, and conversations around how this will meet the needs of our community, both for school and community. Through a lot of hard work, we were able to get that to pass February 15th of at about 61.7%. And I speak to the community side of it. We really sold that as my philosophy, as it stated earlier, it's a community building. And so we built some community features in that building to help our community address some of their immediate needs, like emergency shelter, i.e. alternate power sources, not to run school, but a generator to have the capacity to be an emergency shelter. Mm-hmm. Because there's a lot of stories out in our portion of Mason County, and I can't remember the year, but 97, when they lost power for a couple of weeks. So we built that building with capacity of maintaining service in our community to be able to provide an emergency shelter with communications, with food preparation, and so forth. And again, they did not anticipate running schools with alternate power source, right, but being a shelter in case of an emergency event of that nature. So those are some of the conversations we had with our tax base around what do we really need as a community facility.
One of the things I think that I hear from folks is that they often feel like they don't hear from the school district, right or wrong, but except when there's an ask for money. Mm-hmm. And I know this was part of a conversation we were having, yeah, too. And I know that's one of the things you hope to kind of get away from, so people are feeling like they're engaged with their school district.
Absolutely.
Well outside the times when there's levies and bonds and that sort of thing, mm-hmm, coming up for a vote. And just kind of your thoughts about that, because I think it's a legitimate complaint, if you will, that people,
absolutely,
might feel, especially if they don't have a kid in the school,
absolutely,
because they aren't there every day, or they're not dropping them off, or they're not, yeah, getting the newsletter every day and that sort of thing.
Yeah. I think it's really important for the superintendent. Now, there are a number of events going on in a community this size, yeah, but it's very important for me to be engaged in events outside of school events so that folks have an opportunity to see me involved in whatever the event may be, but understand that I'm dedicated to the passion and the love of this community to make it a better place for all. And so, you know, again, I mentioned the dunk tank event, you know, with, mm-hmm, Howie Rundell, and then we did the Bowling for Books, you know, about a week and a half ago. So my wife and I plan to stay very engaged in the community and be accessible by community members across our community, so that you know, they understand we've got skin in the game as well as individuals, and want to make our community the best place that we can for children and adults alike.
Did you learn some things in the Pioneer School District? I mean, in kind of how you're saying how you're approaching this job as well, just some of those things that you're saying right now as to when you come into a district and kind of getting your feet under you?
Yeah, not necessarily. I mean, I think what you really get from me is my core values.
Yeah.
And who I am, and, you know, my experiences growing up as a child, and seeing, you know, what I believed as leadership across the community. So, you know, I wouldn't say that the last position really taught me how to do that, but it's just, I think, you know, that's who I am. And, you know, the number of hours that a superintendent needs to put into his, mm-hmm, or her work is pretty extreme and impressive. Yeah. I feel like I'm on the clock 24/7 from time to time. But, you know, I don't view it as that. You know, I do have my work hours, you know, if you want to call it 8 to 5, but the hours after that are continued work, but we enjoy that. My, yeah, wife and I enjoy those community events. We enjoy the athletic events, the concerts, et cetera. So it's just who we are, and we get enjoyment from that, and we don't really view it as work per se.
What attracted you to the Port Angeles job when you saw it was up? You know, because you had to apply to it. You know, you know, most people have a reason that they might want to take a shot at a job that's in another place.
Yeah. So I come from the school of thought that I believe I'm the most efficient in my work and, you know, most tenacious in my work the first 5 to 7 years in a position. After that, I feel like I kind of start to get a little complacent, and I've always vested in my own thoughts and beliefs that this is far too important of a job. Any educational job, whatever you may be doing in an educational system, is far too important to become complacent in your work. And so knowing my personality, strengths and weaknesses, I can become a little complacent, and I never want to do that. So I, you know, about every 5 to 7 years, I look for my next educational challenge. Mm-hmm. We moved over here in 2011 and spent 7 years with the Pioneer School District. I could have made a career there, but that's not my desire. My desire is to get out and continue to learn public education, you know, across the state, address new challenges that a community has been facing or is facing, and help them to overcome those challenges. So really, as I was looking at positions last winter, you know, my focus was to stay on the Olympic Peninsula. Mm-hmm. And when I noticed that the Port Angeles job was open, upon further research, I got into the numbers, and I am a numbers guy. Data drives a lot of my decisions. But I had an opportunity to do some research on academic achievement of the district. And as I started digging deeper into the numbers, some things started to rise to the surface. Like, you know, this district has a higher than state average free and reduced population. The average for the state of Washington is about 42%, give or take. This district has about 51% free and reduced population. But in nearly every cell on our state assessment, our averages exceed the state average, which really shows the good work of the people in the schools, closing the achievement gap for a population of students that, you know, have historically failed to meet state assessments. And so the work of this community, the school community, really drove me to learn more about Port Angeles. And the deeper I got into those conversations and, you know, data, so to speak, the more interested I was in the position of Port Angeles superintendency. The job in Mason County, and this is not to be judged at all, but it was, you know, there was a lot of fixing up to do in Pioneer. And I don't see that here. I see we're doing some phenomenal things in the on the program side of the work, and phenomenal people and great teachers, experienced teachers that are carrying out the work and achieving some wonderful things with our students. And so I wasn't looking for another fixer-upper. I was looking for something where I could come in and help enhance the good work that is taking place within the district. And so that's really what drew my attention to Port Angeles. Two things: the achievement of the district, and also just I wanted to be on the Olympic Peninsula and make my home here. And our goal between my wife and I is you know, I'm at year 30, she's at year 33. Right. We're hopeful that this is our last stop, and we want to make this our golden years,
right.
And you know, really make a difference in the community and potentially retire here.
All right. Welcome to the community. We're going to take a break. There is a little fixing up to do, and that's on the facility side. We'll talk about kind of maybe what thing one, thing two, thing three might be as you've started to put a little maybe of an agenda, quote unquote, together as to what the superintendent needs to tackle. And we're talking with the new superintendent for the Port Angeles School District, Marty Brewer, and more with him right after this.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
Olympic Peninsula Title, the name you've known for your full title and escrow services, offers contract collection. Let Olympic Peninsula Title process, collect, and disperse funds with your private party loan. Find out more about this service and how it can work for you. OlePennTitle.com. Olympic Peninsula Title. Title, escrow, contract collection. Olympic Peninsula Title.
Every business needs great people, and the better way to find them. Something better than posting your job online and just praying for the right people to see it. ZipRecruiter revolutionized hiring. Their technology finds great candidates for you. No wonder 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. Goodbye, post and pray. Hello, ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire.
Try it for free today at ZipRecruiter.com/newsradio. That's ZipRecruiter.com/newsradio.
This is a special announcement for all Americans who owe back taxes to the IRS or state. Pay attention. There's a special toll-free hotline set up especially for you. This hotline will give you free information on how you can legally reduce or eliminate your tax debt. Call the taxpayer hotline today at 800-441-1943. Grab a pen or put the number in your cell phone. 800-441-1943. You'll speak with qualified professionals who'll tell you how to stop the collection calls, IRS letters, bank levies, and wage garnishments. And they'll deal directly with the IRS on your behalf, so you don't have to. Even if you haven't filed returns or you already are in a payment plan, you can still get relief. New IRS settlement policies have opened the doors for a fresh start. But hurry, this won't last forever, and your tax problem will only get worse if you do nothing or try to handle it yourself. It makes a big difference in who you call. So call the taxpayer hotline today for free information. 800-441-1943. 800-441-1943.
Brought to you by South Coast Tax.
Do you owe the IRS more than $10,000? Do you have tax problems? Pick up your mobile phone and dial **1234 on your keypad. This is Attorney John Buckmiller, founder of Attorneys Tax Relief. We have experts that know how to help you out of the mess with the IRS. We can help stop wage garnishment, levies, and harassment. Get out of debt and settle with the IRS. Remember, it's as easy as **1234. Don't wait any longer. Dial **1234. That's **1234 on your mobile phone now.
We're learning more about the tentative plea deal between federal prosecutors and President Trump's former personal attorney and fixer, Michael Cohen. Court papers say one or more campaign officials worked with Cohen on a deal to pay money to porn actress Stormy Daniels, meaning the so-called hush money could have been paid to protect a candidate for political office, potentially bringing the special counsel's investigation closer to President Trump. More from ABC's Aaron Kaczorski.
Michael Cohen had been under investigation for bank fraud, tax evasion, and campaign finance violations related to hush payments for Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal, two women who have claimed they had affairs with Donald Trump before he became president. He has denied the affairs. We're told Cohen has agreed to plead guilty, spend time in prison, and forfeit a significant amount of money, but there may be no obligation for him to cooperate either with federal prosecutors in New York or with special counsel Robert Mueller.
Cohen is appearing this afternoon in federal court in Manhattan after surrendering to the FBI. Scott Goldberg, ABC News.
Here's your AccuWeather.com forecast. An air quality alert will be in effect until 3 a.m. tomorrow morning. This afternoon, hazy sunshine, smoke from the area fires leads to poor air quality. Today's high of 81 also ties the record high for the date from 2013. Hazy and smoky tonight, low 53. Hazy sunshine tomorrow, Wednesday's high 73. And Thursday, a mix of sun and clouds with a high of 65. For AccuWeather.com, I'm Sally Sherman.
Marty Brewer is the new superintendent for Port Angeles Schools. We're talking with him this hour about kind of what he sees, you know, what got him here in the first place, and then also kind of what he sees as next. And I guess that's what we'll talk about. You know, what is the first, I'm not going to call it project, but I guess the first thing you need to take care of, do you think, in the school? And I know one of the things, everybody says, well, we got to get some schools built. We got facility problems. We need to go out and do some stuff. And I know in our conversation that I had with you, you know, earlier this summer, you're kind of like, well, wait a minute. We need to really kind of analyze this, and maybe rushing headlong into another bond issue is not really the right thing to do at this point.
Correct. You know, I think we need to really assess and hear from our community based on previous experiences and levies and bond elections. So I think it's a good opportunity for me to just get a kind of a temperature of the community, so to speak, you know, continue to report that back to the board based on my findings on, you know, what's worked well in the past with some of our campaigns and maybe what has not worked well in our campaigns. And so it's a good opportunity for us to pause for just a little bit here and kind of collect some data so that the next time the board, you know, goes out and asks for a vote of the people, we're well prepared to carry out the conversation in the depth and the detail that the community expects, and also what the community expects in a facility.
What have people been saying to you in your conversation so far about facilities? And I know you've tried to stay open-minded about it. I know you've toured them. You know what you know what's going on in the district. Yeah. But what are you hearing from folks?
I'm trying to reach out and hear from both sides. Yeah. And that's an important part of this process. But what I'm hearing, it's very encouraging. I hear a number of individuals and associations and business groups, the city, that are coming together, you know, to help, or to they see the need within the Port Angeles School District and are willing to come to the table to help the conversation to be moved along. And that's very encouraging. There's a felt need. I guess what I'm getting at is there's a felt need in this community. And, you know, in nearly every coffee chat I've had, that felt need comes to the surface in the form of how can we help? So that I'm encouraged by that conversation and those commitments from a number of our organizations. An example is the chamber. There's the chamber leadership is very interested in helping to lead the next campaign, whenever that may be. The city has stepped forward to indicate that, you know, we would like to help. The hospital has shown some interest. And so, you know, these very important organizations within our community see the need and how that impacts their business in both positive and negative fashion. Sure. And they're very interested in moving our conversations along.
How do you approach this and be careful not to, keep it open, I guess, in the sense that you're not, you know, making a proposal that we're going to do A, B, or C at mm-hmm. this point? Because, you know, our tendencies, I think, as humans and human nature is to say, well, we're building a high school, or we're, you know, and kind of maybe reining in that conversation, realizing that there's a larger discussion in this.
Yeah. And you know, the board ultimately makes that decision.
Right. Yeah.
And so I only take a recommendation to the board. But in looking at the previous two campaigns, I think the board in this community have put together some very viable options for our community to consider. There has been some challenges with each of those, but in both of those most recent campaigns, I see a very well thought out approach to meeting the needs of our district, starting to meet the needs of our district. I think that's where some of our challenge may lie. There has been some confusion around, well, what do you really need? Because, you know, you came out a couple years ago and you went for a high school, and last time you were not about the high school, it's about the middle school. Well, the reality of that is, from an outsider's perspective, just joining this team, we have needs at all three levels. We really do. Our high school, you know, we have some capital needs there. The middle school, obviously some capital needs, and we have capital needs at the elementary school. And so it's really about prioritizing that list around where do we start. And that's where, when we start, I'm not sure, but we just need to start. Mm-hmm. Our facilities are starting to show their wear around us, and addressing those needs need to start in the very near future, wherever that start may be. And so in looking at both proposals, the last two campaigns, I see a lot of value in each, and I'm not ready to make a recommendation to the board on what's our next step. But that's part of our conversations right. within the community to help define that, so that when it's time, I can make a recommendation to the board around the direction that we should head for our next campaign.
Now, one of the things that I think is the McCleary decision loomed large in a lot of, I think, what the voters' take was on school finance.
Yes.
Just exactly what was my property tax bill going to look like? Because, frankly, the last time this was before voters, there still was some uneasiness as to exactly what will the ultimate property tax bill look like for a column, a Port Angeles school district, property owner. Mm-hmm. That has changed somewhat. I mean, would you agree that that may have been, a mitigating circumstance? I don't say it was the one, but
yeah, it was a tough season as it related to knowing your property tax. And so last campaign, the district, this district and the district I was in couldn't come out with certainty to say your tax rate
will be,
from the Port Angeles School District in 2019 at this, you know. And so we can now say with certainty, because the McCleary decision has been funded by the legislative group, and you know, our property taxes here will be max, you know, for our enrichment levy. It's gone now from called the M&O levy, right, to an enrichment levy, will be at max $1.50. It may be based on assessed valuation, it may be a, you know, penny or two less than that, but the max that our tax base can expect would be $1.50 based on new legislation that requires us to stay within that rate.
Now, that's good news, bad news in some ways, because with a cap on it, I mean, the theory is that the state needs to do in its general funding of education a better job. That's what the McCleary thing was all about, and not use these now enrichment levies or operations levies or whatever they used to be called to, you know, prop up essentially what was missing in a local district. You were supposed to use them for truly the things that that district wants to do extra, more or less. Is that going to work, do you think, as you take a look at it at a local level?
Well, first I want to state,
because I could come and say, hey, I want to have this, and we want to have this, and we want to have that, and you may, you know, you may eat that $1.50 up pretty quickly, I guess, is where I'm driving at.
And so first, we have to acknowledge that the legislators did fully fund education and bring in billions of dollars to public education across the state, and I compliment them for that. It's tough work, you know, with every district having its own unique strengths and potentially weaknesses and taxable rates and assessed valuation, and what a significant puzzle to undo. But as we're seeing the new McCleary funds roll out, and I spoke to a couple of lawmakers last week around some of the challenges that we're facing with regards to our new funding model. And, you know, they both recognize that they went in with the intent that there would need to potentially be some tweaks to the system. And that's understandable when you're talking about billions of dollars and formulas and, you know, so, but one of the challenges that we're facing is with this levy swap concept. You know, we anticipate using the state model. There's a multi-year budgeting model on OSPI, but over the next 2 years, we anticipate a little under 7% new revenue for our district. The average for our region in this area of our state is 14%.
Wow.
For districts across this region from Peninsula on up through, you know, to Forks. So we're well below in this swap concept the average. And some of our neighboring districts are seeing increased revenues in the sum of, you know, 20%, 36-37% of new revenues to their district in addition to what they had. For us, it hasn't equated to that for us. We're looking at, like I say, a little under 7% over the next 2 years, which creates its challenges around planning for multi-year budgets.
Exactly. Now, why is what's the main reason for that when you can take a look at another district nearby and they're getting a significant change?
Some of it is related to regionalization. Okay. A big deal out in educational world right now is this concept of regionalization. And, you know, there are two forms of regionalization. The first form is simply the average cost of a family home in that district. Let's put it that way. Mm-hmm. And so you take your most expensive, you know, districts to own a home, like the King Counties and Pierce County as a world. And their basic ed formula includes an 18% multiplier. And so King County, Pierce County, Kitsap County, those schools typically get an 18% multiplier. I'm not saying all, but generally speaking, those counties multiply their BEA apportionment by 18%. And then you have the next layer of schools that are equated by home value, and they transition to 12%. And then you have 6% regionalization, and then you also have zero. Port Angeles is a zero regionalization district based on the home values and the cost of living here in our district. That's one side of the the regionalization puzzle. The other side is our district was given, I call it, temporary regionalization, and we do have 6% multiplier this year that transitioned to a 3% multiplier 5 years from now. So, you know, the revenue comes in at 6% this year, and in 3 years it goes down to 4% and then 3% and transitions potentially away. And we were given that based on the cost associated to running a district based on other regionalization zero districts. Our employee costs were higher than other regionalization districts that were at zero. I'm not saying we were competing with the Seattle of the world, but if you take all of the zero regionalization districts and compare their cost for operational, our costs were higher. So we got temporary regionalization, which creates another challenge for us as you get into planning multi-year budgets around. You have 6% this year, 4% 2 years from now, 3%, you know, 5 years from now that could potentially go away thereafter. So you have to be very careful to plan your multi-year budgets.
Will that ever change? Do you ever see this becoming not a 0% region?
I can't answer that.
Yeah, I mean, and how is that determined? I mean, at what point does an area become 6%, for example?
I think they would go in and do an assessment of statewide home values and, you know, potentially reclassify, you know, where districts fall within that funding source. But that would be very difficult from within itself, because if you're North Kitsap and you have an 18% regionalization factor, then how can you take that away? You know, it's considered permanent. And let's say home values for whatever reason decline to the 12% range. Can you really take that 6 away from that district that's been building their budgets, supporting their staff needs based on that? So it's a very complex issue. Right. So I think the permanent regionalization is probably here to stay. The temporary, I'm not certain where that goes, in next steps for us and the other 20 or so districts across the state that have that temporary regionalization.
Which then leads to kind of another thing, a lot of talk about negotiations with teacher unions. I'm seeing these, and this explains a bit. Some of these districts are, you know, they're given 20%+ wage increases to teachers. Mm-hmm. This is why, isn't it? A good portion of it. Yeah. So and I know that Port Angeles is in the middle of it, and the teachers are certainly lobbying for a larger pay raise. I'm wondering how you make this work in a sense. I mean, you only have X amount of dollars. What do you do?
Yeah, well, we're currently in, you know, negotiations with our teachers. And, you know, first, I have full confidence in both sides of the table that we're going to be able to, you know, get a deal done that fairly compensates our employees, but also protects the sustainability of our district. So we're going to get it figured out. I liken it to like a big puzzle. You know, it's new funding. There's a lot of complex issues that are related to our that are a part of this work. Percentages don't really work in our conversations anymore based on regionalization or not regionalization. So we just have to work through all those issues and come to resolution on what we can afford and, you know, what is, you know, a fair compensation for all of our employees within the Port Angeles School District.
Under the McCleary decision, how much are you, you're not supposed to really basically use any sort of a local levy, if you will, to compensate teachers in a sense like you might have in the past. I'm not saying that's what happened, but you could kind of shift dollars around to make up for some losses here and there. That's not supposed to happen now, right? It's all supposed to come out of the state side of things.
Yeah. So if you're a BEA teacher, basic education teacher, first grade, 10th grade, whatever you might teach, that comes out of state dollars. And so the enrichment is now intended to be exactly that, beyond the state funding formula. So we haven't officially adopted it just yet, but the board will do so, I believe, on Thursday night. Our music positions in our district, which, you know, music in this district, second to none.
It's a big deal.
I've never seen such a phenomenal program of, you know, music collections across a school district. But, because music is not enhanced to the level that we enhance it in our district, we can support using enrichment dollars to support our teachers beyond the prototypical funding model. And so many of our music teachers can be utilized as enrichment dollars.
Got it.
Another example is, you know, we receive, and it's not perfect, but about half-time counselors in each of our elementary schools based on the prototypical model. We know that half-time counselors, given the, you know, the students that we work within, they need counselors. And so this district has purchased that other half of the counselor out of enrichment dollars. That's an allowable expense under the new enrichment laws because it goes beyond the prototypical model. Nurses is another example of that. So this district has done a really good job of, you know, planning the use of those enrichment dollars beyond the prototypical model so that we can enhance the core offerings within our schools.
I guess the big question for someone who's an administrator is, the McCleary decision been a good thing or a bad thing in school funding in some ways? I think some people may hear some of the things you're just saying and say, boy, we just kind of shifted the issues around. There's more mm-hmm. money, but yet how it gets dispensed is still an enigma, so yeah. to speak.
And you know, my greatest concern with the more money concept is, you know, there's no doubt we have more money. But the way the money has been allocated in the levy swap is not equitable. And so, you know, the numbers and the contracts that you hear across the state are in many cases not obtainable by every district in our state. And so, you know, I'm not going to ever, you know, say that it's created more of a problem, because it's a good thing to have more state money to be able to solve the puzzle, so to speak. But it has created its challenges just to learn all the dynamics around the new money. Being a new superintendent, it takes some time to dig through the budget. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's taken us some time to really know what we have and what we do not have. And to reiterate, you know, the over the course of the next 2 years, a little under 7% of new revenue for our district, when, you know, you have a region-wide average of about 14%, that creates cause for concern for Port Angeles.
Yeah.
And again, I have had an opportunity to speak with our lawmakers about that very piece to see if we can, you know, potentially work on some adjustments for them.
Yeah, interesting. Enlightening. Did not realize about this regionalization. I think it's part of the McCleary thing that nobody who is not in education, I think we don't get to hear this part of the of what's going on.
It's so very complex.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Marty, it's good to have you in town. Thanks for coming in to spend an hour with us, and we'll do this more often, I'm sure. It's
absolutely
my pleasure to have you come down and chat about what's going on. He is the new superintendent for Port Angeles Schools. That is Marty Brewer. And how do we get a hold of you if somebody out there wants to chat with you?
So that's a great question.
he's still so trying nerdy, to learn my, get his phone number.
Yeah, I'm
right.
Still trying to, you know, identify my phone number here. Best way is, send me an email.
Okay.
mbrewer@portangelesschools.org.
There you go. And, he is very open. I can attest to that. He's been, spending a good portion of the summer talking with all sorts of folks around town. Marty, good to see you. Thanks
nice
for coming
to see
in.
You. Thank all you
right.
For
we'll
me.
Take a break. We'll check in with news coming up next.
This is the Todd Ortloff Show on News Radio 1450 KONP.
At Olympic Medical Physicians, our certified nurse midwives do more than just provide personalized prenatal and delivery care. As advanced registered nurse practitioners in the field of women's health, they offer a wide range of services, support, and education. Consider a nurse midwife for your well woman gynecological needs. Call 360-565-0999 for details or to schedule an appointment. No referral required.
Here's a KONP local business update, presented by First Federal.
When it comes to helping our local businesses succeed, no one works harder than First Federal. If you're in business, learn the benefits you receive as one of our First Fed partners. Marketing tools, financial resources, and more, all available to our First Fed partners, including Blue Sage Property Management of Squim, offering professional property management services that go more than the extra mile. Like Blue Sage Property Management, your business can benefit as First Fed partner. Call or drop by First Federal today.
It's officially official. Nathan West steps up from Director of Community and Economic Development in Port Angeles to City Manager. He'll step into the new post September 5th. West was approved unanimously by the City Council. Allison Brecky has stepped in as Acting Community and Economic Development Director. First Federal Community Foundation has now contributed $150,000 to the expansion of Olympic Medical Center's Squim Cancer Care Center. A check for $25,000 was recently added to the project coffers on behalf of the foundation. Local businesses continue on the move. We notice a new location for The Quarry, from its spot along East Front Street to a new location just south of the Walmart intersection in Port Angeles. And we note a new Little Devil's Lunchbox in the works on East First Street. We'll keep an eye on the progress there. And with the back-to-school season upon us, we remind moms and dads to shop locally for those necessary purchases for the kids as much as possible.
KONP Local Business Update, presented by First Federal.
Elections can impact your wallet, affect your rights, even change the course of a country. I'm Secretary of State Kim Wyman. To vote in Washington's election on November 6th, you'll need to be registered. Just visit myvote.wa.gov on or before October 8th, or register in person at your county elections office before October 29th. Your vote is your voice, so speak up and be heard by registering at myvote.wa.gov.
Brought to you by the Office of Secretary of State, the Washington State Association of Broadcasters, and this station.
For a limited time only, it's your chance to save on the full line of Ford cars, trucks, and SUVs. The Labor Day sales event is on now at your local Ford store. Now through September 4th, get big cash back. Financing options as low as 0%, and unbelievable lease offers on America's best-selling brand. Now's the time to get behind the wheel of an always unstoppable 2018 Ford SUV, packed full of features like available intelligent all-wheel drive and four-wheel drive capability, and available Sync 3 technology. But the savings don't stop there. Test drive a built Ford Tough F-Series truck and see for yourself what makes F-150 Motor Trend's 2018 Truck of the Year. But time is already running out, so don't delay. This event won't last, and neither will these incredible deals. Come in now for special savings on a brand new Ford car, truck, or SUV. Only during the Labor Day sales event. Only until September 4th. And only at your local Ford store. For details on current offers, go to buyfordnow.com. Claim based on 2017 CY sales.
What's very popular this summer with young people ages 6 through 19? It's the Summer Youth Pass from Clallam Transit. A $20 pass lets you ride anywhere in the county from Memorial Day through Labor Day. Jefferson, Grace Harbor, Inner City, Olympia, and Mason County Transits will also honor this pass for travel around the Olympic Peninsula. Passes are at regular outlets now or at the CTS office or by mail. If you don't have a pass, buy one. For more info, call 452-4511 or 1-800-858-3747.
So here's the thing. I'm a rooster. It's my job to wake everyone up. Mornings are my busy time. What with having to keep an eye on the horizon? It's not an easy gig. Mornings are what they are. But it's different for you because there's McDonald's. And right now, breakfast sandwiches for $5. Mix and match the tasty, toasty egg McMuffin and the savory, satisfying sausage McMuffin with egg. But only for a limited time. Turns out, McDonald's makes mornings better. For you, at least. Excuse me.
Price and participation may vary. Limited time offer cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Complete news coverage. Rely on it from News Radio KONP.